Last week, we're looking at the remarkable Magnificat of Mary, right? And her story, and looking at her life more closely to understand who this was that God chose to give birth to the Son of God. And it's a remarkable story. And this week, we are going to be looking at her husband, the one she was betrothed to, Joseph. But most of all, and the clearest of all, is that it is about the birth of Jesus Christ. It is the life of Mary and the life of Joseph in relation to the Lord Jesus Christ being born. And so Christ is prominent, right? We have the candles here, and we have the tall candle, which is the Christ candle, and on New Year's Eve we will light that. And we will reflect on who Jesus is, and we'll hear from Mary and Joseph and a shepherd who are going to give testimonies about their experience and their feelings at the time that God called them. I hope that you'll be there to listen to the testimonies and to share in all of the things that we do Christmas Eve at 7:30. But we've been looking at their lives also in the scriptures leading up to that point. And so it's good that we take a look at Joseph. Many of us, if we were asked about Joseph, we would say, yeah, he was the father of Jesus. Maybe we don't know that many details about him, but Matthew writes this so that we would have a little bit closer association with him. And it's quite remarkable. Constantly, God is sending angels into the lives of people. He's sending angels to communicate with them. And each time an angel appears, what do they say first? Fear not. Fear not. We had an ESL class the other night, and we were looking at the scripture, or one of the scriptures of Christmas. And so I said, you know, it says, fear not. So I said, we don't usually say fear not to someone. that is actually a biblical way. And I mean, we can do that, but the best way that we say it is don't be afraid. Right. And that's a great thing to say. Right. I mean, there are many things that we can say to people in life, but as Christians, one of the greatest things that we can say in the authority of Christ is do not be afraid. And let the work of the Holy Spirit come upon a person who is afraid about things in life that they're going through. And it may not be obvious. And a lot of times, you know, people hold things inside and they have a good way of hiding what they're going through. But each one of us has a burden to bear in life. And we need each other, right? We need each other. We need each other as human beings. We need each other as Christians to help one another through those times that we're going through. And the more that we fellowship together, the more that we grow together, the more we should be able to share the things with each other that are closest to our hearts, and to help one another to know that we need not be afraid because Christ is with us. Yeah. So there are many messages in this very short passage of Matthew. Matthew, it's interesting, you know, last week we were reading in Luke, and there's a much longer section of scripture talking about how angels came to speak to Zechariah, right? And we learned about Elizabeth, we learn about Mary, we learn about the shepherds coming, right? But Matthew chooses to say, and now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way, and he begins to talk about Joseph, right? So it's always connected to someone, right? It's always connected with someone. There's a relationship at work in the Bible, and that is one of the things that we're blessed with. It's not just a list of rules. It is a list of things, sometimes a rule or a commandment that we need, but it's in relationship to God and to one another to help us in our relationship with God and also with one another. So think for a moment, close your eyes, and think about your relationships. Which are the relationships that come into your mind immediately at this time? Okay, just take a few minutes. Think about people in your life. Think about whoever it is that you are close to, and just take a few moments. So the Bible begins in this way. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. And now listen to what it says. The birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Now take that in for a moment. When his mother, Mary, first of all, when his mother, Jesus Christ, there's no question about it, she was his mother. Right? Think about that, what it must have been like to say that I am the mother of Jesus Christ. When his mother, Mary, had been betrothed to Joseph, she was promised to Joseph and betrothed, meant this, that it was not just like someone who's engaged. It had the understanding that if that relationship were to be called off or to be broken, the means for that to occur would be through divorce. Okay, so it's not like an engagement is just called off, you're not divorced, you just call off the engagement, but here in a betrothal, had the understanding that it was going to be. They were to be married. And they were that connected that way. They had not yet come together physically in that way. And that's also spoken about here. But then listen to the words of what happens to this couple. His mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found to be with child. So here we have this couple that are betrothed to be married. They've never come together to consummate their relationship that way. But Mary has a baby growing inside of her. Think about that implication now. And this is the way that Matthew is talking about the birth of Jesus Christ. Openly discussing what is happening here with us as adults and as children to understand this thing that had happened, right? And so their relationship is brought into view in this kind of way. She was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit, and there we have it. The child that was growing inside of Mary was not from Joseph, but from the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit, as we read last week, came upon her and she became pregnant with the Son of God growing inside of her. And what about Joseph? Her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. So we learn about Joseph a little bit here, right? What does it say? First of all, he was her husband. They call him her husband, right? Being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame. So he was a just person, a righteous man, right? He was a good man, But he was a righteous man. He wanted to do things the right way. Unwilling to put her to shame, and so he was looking out for the dignity, integrity of Mary. Resolved, he considered him to divorce her quietly. And then it says this, as he considered these things. And this word considered comes up in the story in the Bible about Mary as well, right? She was a person who pondered and considered things that were going on. Do you consider yourself that way? I think we all have that an element to that, don't we? What's on your mind? You look like you have something on your mind. Do you ever have that kind of a feeling? You see somebody and there's just, you can just tell that there's something going on there. And whether or not they respond, if you say, you know, what's going on? How you doing? You know, maybe if they trust you enough, they'll share what's really going on. But oftentimes, you know, people consider things themselves or trying to go through it in their minds. And it sounds like Joseph was that kind of a person. He was thinking about, what am I going to do here? And he's going through this whole thing that this woman that I was betrothed to and I've never slept with is going to have a baby. But I love her and I want to protect her name and I want to protect my own name. And so he started to think about ways to resolve this whole issue. And so what that does, everybody, is it brings us into this story to realize that these are real people that are going through. I mean, this is not a normal thing, but they're going through something. And I believe that Joseph really didn't know the whole story when he started to think about these things. All he knew is that I was supposed to marry her. My life was going really well. And I had everything planned out. I met this young lady, and she was arranged for me to marry, and our families get along, and the whole thing, and we're all heading in the right direction. I have a occupation. I can take care of her. I'm going to make plans in that kind of a way. And then all of a sudden, he notices that his wife is going to give birth to a baby, and his life changes. Mary's life changes. Right? But isn't it often like that in life, that we have this kind of a thought, we're going to do this, and we're going to go this way, and this is the way I've got it all planned, and then it doesn't go that way. And so what do? When we have God in our lives, then we know what we can do. We're not alone. Fear not. Don't be afraid. I know who you are. I gave your life to you. That's why I mentioned that to the children through this prayer of Jesus, for them to talk to them, to let them know that their birth is very important. Their lives are very important because they were created by God. And we live in a world where that is not really believed. It is a world that connects us with some kind of an occurrence and links us even to animals. But the Bible teaches us that we came from the hand of God, who lovingly and wonderfully created us and gave us meaning in our lives because he is in our lives. Right? And so these are the things that we gain from looking and reflecting on this scripture today. So what happens? He considered all these things. He's thinking about, what am I going to do? And then this happens. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear. Amen? Do not fear to take Mary as your wife. Marriage secured. Plans brought back together. I was going down this road and this happened. The woman that I loved, she's going to have a baby and it's not mine. We're going to have to end this. We're going to do it in the right way. And that's the way it's going to happen. And then an angel of the Lord comes to him in a dream and says, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. Gone. The problem's gone. I mean, there's other problems that come up, right? But that problem has been brought back into a place where he can have the woman that he thought he was going to lose. Can you imagine that? The way that you go through the things, and I've gone through things like that in my life. Have you? Where you feel like, what am I going to do? Right? What am I going to do? This is terrible. But the Bible teaches us that God gets involved in our lives at those points when we think that we're going to have to do something in this kind of a way, and we're going to have to make the best of it somehow. And he says, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And so this Holy Spirit comes into view here in this story in a powerful way. That the Holy Spirit gets involved in the life of Joseph. And it's explained to him that this child is from the Holy Spirit. It's from God. And that explains who it is that is at work in his betrothed Mary. And it helps him. It helps him. That which is conceived in her, growing in her womb, is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son. And this is not a question. And this is not advice. This is the word of God coming to him and telling him what is going to occur. Out of their control, it is a God thing. It is a God thing. And therefore it is trustworthy and it is good. She will bear a son. You're going to have a son there, right? It's going to be coming from your wife, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he's given the directions on what to, even to name the son, Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. His name is of great importance. His name is of great importance. Right? We've been talking about names, haven't we, in Life Prep? Right? The importance of names. There's one we want to pay attention to. His name is Jesus. And that means Yahweh is salvation. Yahweh is salvation. The Lord is salvation. The Lord saves. And that is what he does. He saves humankind. Not just he will save his people, but he will save humankind from their sins and redeem them so that they would not die but have eternal life. And that is the Son that is growing inside of Joseph's betrothed Mary. He will save his people from their sins. And the people there is implying all those who belong to Christ. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. And so there's another name. Emmanuel, God with us, that God is with us. I can't, you know, I know all you guys, and I know you're used to hearing me talk and everything like that. But there are billions of people in the world that don't even know who God is. Right? We talk about these things, and we talk about having sending out missionaries and doing things in our church like that. That is the reason, so that they will know not to fear that life is not just about being reincarnated into somebody else one day or even into an animal or something like that, like many, 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 many people think in the world. And it's not that when your life is over here that it just ends and there's nothing more, because many, 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 many millions and billions of people think that way and they have zero hope. And the Bible is teaching us this today so that we will know and that we will take it to heart and that we will give it to others to know, so that they will not fear, so that they will know his name is Jesus. We went down to a nursing home down in Edison with Jesus Loves New Jersey. And after we had sung for them, and there was a large number of Asian people there, Chinese mainly, Cantonese-speaking people who were all there listening and being a part of that. It was wonderful. But there were also scattered people that were not Chinese or Asian there. And I went up to this guy, and his name was Eli. And I asked him, you know, a little bit about himself, and after he told me a little bit about himself, I said, do you know that God loves you? And he said, okay, well, wait just a second. I'm not a Christian. I'm a Muslim. And I said, okay. Well, God loves you. And we started talking. And the first thing he said to me was this: it's all the same anyway. And I think he said that to me because he wanted us to keep talking. You know, I mean, it wasn't like he was against us talking about Jesus. In fact, I learned in that short time we were talking that both of his parents are Christians. And so he knows all about Christianity, but he was mistaken because it's not all the same. And the thing that he told me was the difference is that we don't believe in Jesus is the Son of God. We don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. So I'm just talking to this guy. I'm not going to start into an argument. We had like maybe 5 minutes there to talk. But I intend to go back there and keep talking to him, because he was very open about talking about things. And I could tell he was just a person living there in this nursing home. And it would be good to know him and to share faith and to continue the conversation. But what I'm telling you is this, that they don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and yet they say God is the same. It's not the same. And that is why we need to be able to understand what the Bible says and be able to bring it to people so that we can be prepared to share the good news of the gospel with others. Right, so there's all kinds of people that we meet in this world who are like that. They're really, really super nice people, but they're being misled because that Jesus is the Son of God. And his name means to save. Right? And we explain to people that he came to save us from our sins. All of people. That's what the shepherds heard from the angel. It will be for all people. Right? Not this sect of Christians or people that believe, or this group here. All people. Right? And so this is the thing that came into, this is what Joseph was introduced to, the incarnation of Jesus Christ. And he was a part of that story. He would raise Jesus Christ as his earthly father. Think about the implications of that. Knowing who it is that you're raising as a child. Right? They shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And Matthew writes that down so that people who may not know the Hebrew language would know that they were talking, what he was talking about. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. And so here we see an example of a man who was spoken to by God in a dream that he was not to leave Mary. He was not to divorce her, that he would stay with her. They would become man and wife, continuing in this plan. But they would have a son, and his name would be called Jesus, because he would save people from their sins. And this is in fulfillment of a prophecy that came long, long before. And that, as a person who is of the Jewish faith, meant a lot, because it gave him a connection to what was happening in his life. However, can anyone really think that something that big, you know, could come into your life in that kind of a way and not think, who am I? That I was chosen from all of the people in the world, and you know, Mary and I are the ones who are now going to raise this child who is the Son of God. Amazing. But the thing that God teaches us over and over again in the book, and I've been taught this ever since I was a child in my church, is that we belong to the family of God. That it's the same thing for you and me in a way. I mean, it's not the same, but it's the same in terms of this unbelievable thing that you and I have a God who is so filled with grace and so filled with love that he would look down on our sinful souls and all of our rebellion and the things that are in us and say, I love you, and I'm telling you that Jesus died for your sins so that you can live, and I want you to live forever with me. Isn't that incredible? I mean, let's not get wrapped up in our faith so that we, you know, are oblivious to the wonder of it. And that's why Christmas means a lot to me, because there is wonder in it. There is wonder in this time, and there are things that some people that don't believe in God would call magical. But those things that they call magical are really stars that he put in the sky when he created the earth. Those feelings of love between people and of hope and things like that come directly from God. We associate all of these things, the peace and the hope and the love and the joy that exists in this world, with Jesus, right? That is the difference. And so we need to be able to tell people about him and to point to the word of God here. And if I, as a little boy, grew up in a church where people taught us these things and did, you know, skits at Christmas time and had people dress up and children singing in choirs and the choir singing things and different things like that, if they did that, then can't I also share that joy with someone else and let them experience it? Isn't it great that we can have a church where we can put these things together to show people in inventive and creative ways the joy that we have, so that they can be exposed to these things as well? We have a very important voice in this world. And so we need to be here. God with us. Are we with God? I'll say it again. God with us. Are we with God? Amen. Amen. We are with God. We are one with God. Our whole life depends on him. Every breath, everything. Right? And so let's consider these things too. Joseph and Mary were people that pondered life. What are we thinking about? Who did you think about for those few moments? Right? So let's take from this what God is giving to us, that we're in relationship with him, that he has given us a son who saves the world. His name is Jesus. So that when we say Jesus, we are thinking, he saved me. He saved my life. He came in and took away my sin. And that's what we're going to be remembering in communion now.